superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I could take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All lies will be exposed.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Good luck going from your sport to the ultimate contact sport. Good luck going to a sport where you can't get out of your contract just because you say you want out.
Today's guests, ESPN NBA reporter Dave McMenamin, host of the Greenlight Podcast, Chris Long from Netflix's Unfrosted, actor Thomas Lennon. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. All 3 hours right here on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliates, Sirius XM Odyssey, the podcast version of this show, all 3 hours through to the Cumulus Podcast Network. Thank you very much to that. And to all you who listen and watch this program, call us, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this show. Dave McMenamin, who's covering the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. where the MVP of the league found out he's the MVP of the league. Won't that be a fascinating moment? A tip-off of Game 3, prior to tip-off of Game 3 in Minnesota, when I'm assuming what always happens, the MVP trophy will be awarded to the defending champ who's down 0-2 trying to avoid an 0-3 hole with a teammate who's active despite throwing a heat pack onto the floor. That'll be wild when the Timberwolves fans rain boos down on that moment.
Ridiculous.
Dave McMenamin will be joining us in Minneapolis, not for that, but to discuss that series and all the other series going on in the NBA playoffs. Lots to discuss, and we will in a second. Chris Long will be joining us in the middle of hour number two, our weekly Monday guest during the regular season. We haven't spoken to him since before the draft. He had quite a bit to say about the concept of NBA players easily slipping into the NFL fold and being successful rather than the other way around, something that Austin Rivers, hey, man, thank you for the content on behalf of everybody who does this job right in week two of May. We appreciate that. So we'll discuss that with him. And then hour number three, Thomas Lennon, who we adore from Reno 911 and so many other fun TV shows and movies, including Unfrosted on Netflix, which Jerry Seinfeld came in to promote a couple of weeks ago. And the same thing with Jim Gaffigan. He'll be in studio on hour number three, and we'll have a good time with him. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Great. What's up, man?
DJ Mikey D's and D's Nuts. Hello.
Good morning, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, how are you, sir?
Great. How you guys doing?
Well, listen, I'll be straight up with you. You know, I always say things into this microphone, and if I start backpedaling or want to, you know, say that my beliefs and opinions have a second thought. For a split second, I'll always admit it.
You do. That's what I like
about
you.
Hey, you know, you guys saying superstition is not a thing. Or I did. Pardon me. You said superstition is a thing. That's that whole thing with the NBA. It's not a thing. It's not a thing. It's a thing. Hey, listen. We had the Larry O'Brien trophy here, and I'm like, why the hell aren't you taking a picture with it? Right? Now I'm like, the number one of my power rankings list of my favorite Larrys is the Larry O'Brien trophy in Madison Square Garden. I'm like, I'm going to take photographs. I'm going to say this stuff out loud. And then Jalen Brunson takes some step and suddenly calls for a trainer. And I'm like, wait a minute. Was it me taking a picture with that damn thing?
I mean, you never know.
I got a few tweets about that, and I was just like, uh-oh.
And then I thought to myself, you know what? You know what? No, that's not it. That's not it. Because it looked to me like, what the hell? Did something pop in there?
Yeah, it was weird.
And all of a sudden, in the middle of the first quarter, he's gone. Second quarter, he doesn't show up. He's not there. Where is he? What's going on? I'm like, I've never begged for more Chris Haynes in my life. Where's the report? What do we got here? Questionable to return. While the Pacers just go off. And the other issue was, is, man, the defense was just not there for the Knicks at all in that second quarter. I understand you're missing Brunson in your MVP, but to me, I thought they were missing Mitchell Robinson just as much at that point in time.
Sure.
Because the Pacers were doing whatever the hell they wanted. I mean, Obi Toppin's just driving like crazy. And everybody else is making three-point shots. T.J. McConnell's doing T.J. McConnell things.
He's everywhere.
Right? And Halliburton, who hardly did anything in the second half of game one, he's going off. And I'm like, uh-oh. Thank goodness OG Anunoby was doing mad work. And it's a 10-point deficit for the Knicks, 10-point lead for the Pacers in Madison Square Garden at halftime. And I'm just sitting there halftime, like, give me something. Give me something. And then I thought to myself, oh, yeah, it's the 54-year anniversary of Willis Reed coming back on Madison Square Garden before Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Oh, wow.
And guess who comes out to a thunderous ovation to warm up?
Willis?
Or the 21st century version of him, Jalen Brunson. And Brunson comes out and warms up, and then the Pacers score the first points of the second half, and that's when things began to change. Knicks wound up dominating that third quarter. Dominating. 36-18, they dominated that third quarter. Brunson had a three-pointer in a 14-0 run. And things began to switch and change. And the Pacers and the Knicks played another highly entertaining playoff game in Madison Square Garden. Reggie Miller was there, was getting serenaded by Mike Del Tufo. Will know this term because yes. It's no longer the term, because the old Madison Square Garden used to be sectioned off tier by tier by colored seats.
Yes.
And the upper deck of Madison Square Garden were called the blue seats.
The blue seats.
Well, they're not blue anymore?
No.
Oh.
No, it's the Chase Lounge. I've actually been
there. There's no
it's
blue
gone.
Seats.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
Blue seats are the upper yes. echelons of Madison Square Garden is where, you know, they used to have those chants about Dennis Potvin and how he sucked.
Yes.
Do you ever heard that one?
Yeah.
The Rangers fans would always, you know, that old fashioned, you know, saw dun 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 dun, dun, and then you would pause, and then people would scream, "Potvin sucks!" Even during Knick games,
yes, it didn't matter what was going on
during whatever.
Exactly, the organist played it.
If the Westminster Dog Show played that, people from up top would go, "Potvin sucks!" It's some poor golden retriever.
Yes. The poor dog.
Dog show.
Yes.
The dog was named Pop.
That was Madison
happy.
Square Garden. So from up there, they were telling Reggie Miller how he felt, and Josh Hart, a new Knick favorite, Mr. 48 Minutes, Mr. Damn Near Triple Doubling, the as you, TJ Jefferson, referred to as the 21st century Dennis Rodman with a three-point shot.
Right.
Minus
the hair and
huge performance, 19-15 and 7 in 48 minutes. The big ragu.
Big ragu.
28 points, 10 of 20 shooting, 6
miss.
Of 12 threes, 6 rebounds, 4 ragu. Assists, 44 minutes for Dante DiVincenzo.
I love that name.
And even though he missed the second quarter of this game, Jalen Brunson had 29 points in 32 minutes with 5 assists and 3 steals, including some big points in the fourth quarter when the Knicks were doing their offensive rebound thing. So, the Knicks come out with a 2-0 win. I'm sure Pacers fans are sitting there thinking, well, where do we bring in the officiating? Now we will. Now we will. Because there was an offensive foul called on Indianapolis and on Indiana at the end of the first game that was backed up by the two-minute report. Whether that matters or not, it was an odd call because, you know, I guess other than the, what, UConn-Iowa national semifinal, we don't see those calls, right, very much? In big moments?
Not in the closing seconds, that's for sure.
Okay. And there was a kicked ball called on Indiana that I didn't know. You can't review those things? Personally, I think the NBA should allow that in some sort of review. It's as obvious whether something's been kicked or not.
Yeah.
We can't look at that and just rack it back real quick. That's one of those things that maybe you don't even have to ask another team to use as a challenge on. We could just
do it.
We'll do it real fast. You call a kickball. We're going to stop this for 10 seconds. If we can't tell in 10 seconds, we stand as called or whatever the hell you want to say. But Indiana had some gripe. And Rick Carlisle apparently did not do the official griping because he didn't apparently send in any questionable calls. Apparently you can put together your own mixtape in the NBA of plays and send them in just like you do in the NFL. You send them into the front office of the league and or the association in this case and say, we have a problem with these. We want answers. Didn't do it. But now he's doing it. After last night, when there was a double dribble called on Isaiah Hartenstein, and the officials got together and said, no, it's not a double dribble, which, by the way, was the right call. But they said it was an inadvertent whistle, which is odd because you advertently whistled this thing and made an actual double dribble call. You even heard Madison Square Garden's PA announcer go, double dribble. You heard all of it. So how do you now say call it inadvertent? Because I guess that's the only way through reversing a call to make it right, which is the point of officiating when you all get together and make a call. But
if overturning a kicked ball isn't reviewable, then I sure as hell know that a double dribble isn't overturned.
Well,
either.
No, but listen.
So they have to cover up by saying it's an inadvertent whistle when we all saw
that. That's what happened. But I think the point is not if a kicked ball is not reviewable, a double dribble is not reviewable either. The question is why didn't they, if they, to use a football term, pick up the flag on the double dribble? Why did they do that and not do it for the kicked ball?
Right.
Now, the answer could be all the officials didn't get together or all the officials got together and said, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
We'll go with the call. But that said, that's just one of the fishy. That was the latest issue. And Rick Carlisle got his money's worth, certainly because it was already out of hand. The game was already nearing a double digit Nick lead with such little time left on the clock. Mm-hmm. Carlisle's like, I'll just get kicked out of here.
F it. I'm out of here.
And set myself up to pull a Phil Jackson in the post-game press conference, going face-to-face with the officials. By the way, one of the officials on the court last night was Mark Davis, who Michael Malone went in the face of in Denver's Game 2 loss to Minnesota. And again, we'll talk to Dave McMenamin in a second from Minneapolis. But Carlisle got his money's worth. Not just by getting ejected, but after the game had this to say about the officiating. And boy, I mean, this is the Max Fine coming. Hit it.
There were 29 plays in game one that we thought were clearly called the wrong way. I decided not to submit them because I just felt like, we'd get a more balanced whistle tonight. It didn't feel that way. Couple examples. 5:08 of the third.
He's going to time.
You know, the whole world knows that Halliburton's got a bad back.
Let's give you the time
and
code.
Hart comes up and shoves him in the back. And it's all over Twitter right now because a few people have showed it to me. And J.B. DeRosa's looking right at it. You can see him. He's got vision of the play.
Name checking the official.
He shoves Ty right into the corner and there's no whistle. Right in the back. And so that was shocking, you know, and there are many others. But I can promise you that we're going to submit these tonight. New York can get ready. They'll see them too. I'm always talking to our guys about not making it about the officials. But we deserve a fair shot, you know, and it just there's not a consistent balance, and that's disappointing. You know, small market teams deserve an equal shot.
Mm.
They deserve a fair shot. No matter where they're playing.
Hmm. He went there.
Yes. I agree with
him. He went there. Small market, big market. In case you might be wondering what he possibly could be referring to, who could possibly put their finger on, who could take the hammer and hit the nail directly on top of it, filled with tinfoil hat conspiracy talk? Who could possibly do that? Let me see. Let me go to Twitter on that one. You got it on the screen? You want to put it on the screen? There it is. Chris Brockman can do it. League not even hiding that they want Knicks Celtics, he tweets out last night.
I mean, tell me I'm wrong.
Well, I guess they didn't. The first official called a double dribble on Isaiah Hartenstein to in a two-possession game to give the ball to the Pacers. Didn't get the memo? And the other two is like, well, don't you remember the memo from the league office saying we've got to get the Knicks through? Whatever. Listen, you're doing the tinfoil hat thing.
I am.
Okay.
But the league doesn't deserve benefit of the doubt.
Now, again, Tim Donaghy's not walking through that door. This said, though, what Carlisle's doing is the Phil Jackson thing.
That's great.
So it's while you got the gambler's tinfoil hat on
over
there, pal.
To the extreme.
Okay.
Obviously.
While you got that on, set the line for me on what the over-under of foul disparity will be in game three.
Oh, I'm
what's
sure.
The over-under?
A lot. 16, okay. 17. I would imagine 30 free throws.
And that's to cover up that the league really wants, the association really wants Knicks Celtics? Is that what that's in benefit for?
Yeah.
No.
It can't be too obvious.
It's for extending the series because the association wants more money. You know,
they want game seven
right.
At MSG.
They want game seven before they finally just stick it on the Pacers.
Yes.
Through their officiating.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's one way to put it. By the way, do you know what the foul disparity in last night's game was? You want to know what it was? Three. Well, 17 fouls on Indiana.
What about the free throws?
14 on the Knicks. 14 on the Knicks, 17. 17 free throws for Indiana, 22 for the Knicks.
Okay.
It's not out of the realm. It's not crazy. It's just, again, end of the game, a double dribble's called, and then taken away after further review, and they call it an inadvertent whistle, which is, you know, telling us it's raining when something else is happening. And then at the end of game one, there's a kick ball that they're not going to change when they could, and an offensive foul gets called instead. But Rick Carlisle's an outstanding coach. This is what you do in the NBA to set things up for yourself. And obviously he's an outstanding coach because Tyrese Halliburton has received the coaching about don't make it about the officiating. Because the officials didn't allow the Knicks to shoot over 60% from the floor when Jalen Brunson's hobbling and OG Anunoby suddenly goes out with a hamstring injury that's probably going to keep him out for a while.
Yeah.
Officiating didn't do that. They also didn't keep TJ McConnell nailed to the bench at the end of the game either, did they?
Bingo.
That said, this is what Halliburton had to say after the game.
I mean, that's not my job. You know, I don't really. I mean, at the end of the day, we got outplayed. We were right there to win the game. Would I like consistency? More consistency, yeah, but let's not pretend like that's the only reason we lost. We just didn't play good enough. You know, but at the end of the day, it's 2-0. We're going back to Indy, and, you know, I like us in any matchup. So I'm not worried, but yeah, we'd like consistency. Just, you know, I don't think he double dribbled, but if you can overturn that call, why can't you overturn the kick ball? I don't really understand that. But like I said, they outplayed us. So let's not pretend like the refs are the reason we lost. We just got to be better.
Two things. First of all, if I'm an Indiana fan, if I'm a Pacer fan, I am concerned that Halliburton's off because he did that entire soundbite in one voice. The Yanni Laurel of the NBA, where you hear one thing and he sounds like another. But number two, he's spot on. And a nice way of basically putting in the point of, changed one call, why didn't you do the other? That's kind of weird, but
yep.
It's really on
right.
Us.
Yeah, but it's our fault.
Really on us.
Laurel.
Yeah. That's the Tyrese Halliburton of the NBA. How many people just heard Yanni? Did you hear Yanni?
I heard Laurel.
Okay.
I heard Laurel.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right, but do it again.
No, don't do that on him.
Hold on.
No, don't worry about
sorry,
it.
Sorry, Mike.
Don't
Laurel.
I heard that too.
Laurel again.
I heard Halliburton. No, I heard double dribble. Wait a minute.
No, kickball.
Okay, kickball.
Yeah. Push him back.
What a game, man. What a game in
Great
Madison
series,
Square Garden.
Man. It's just intense. And the thing is, Indiana, they've had all these chances. It's playing at a pace that they want.
They do.
They want to play up-tempo, high-scoring, a game in the 240s and over, and they just can't get it done at the end. Too much Brunson, man.
Too much Brunson. Thank God.
Who would have ever thought?
He's so good. He's so unbelievable.
Let's take a break. Dave McMenamin will join us from Minneapolis to talk about that series there. Obviously, what we just unpacked about last night, and then the other two series going on in the Lakers head coaching update. Lakers. This guy's as locked in with the Lakers as anybody. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show with Chris Long in hour two.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
So, Jokic learned he's the MVP again last night by watching it on Turner. Just like everybody else, watching it on TNT.
Nice.
And the Nuggets posted the video of the moment. And he's really moved by it, I think. You'll see. Take a look.
The 2024 MVP from the Denver Nuggets.
They're called Jokic. Excited. There. That's very moving.
What is he?
I won.
What does he do?
So if that's the way he feels about winning it, maybe this is how the commissioner should feel about giving.
Well, congratulations.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. They need to fix this. There needs to be like a few days off before the season starts. Let's have an award show.
Yeah, like the NFL does it.
You can't give a guy a trophy when they're about to get swept.
Or you're going to give it to him because
on
normally,
the road. What are we doing?
They're going to give it to him in Minnesota? Are they really going to do that?
No, that's not how that works.
Well, they'll wait till that.
But it might not
happen.
They'll
wait till game five?
But it might not be a game five.
Ah, come on.
They're going to give it to them at
What if there's no game five? Then what?
Then
I don't know.
Doesn't get it in front of a crowd.
This has to be fixed.
I just don't. Of all the sports leagues that should have an award show, the NBA,
right?
Wouldn't they get everybody on the planet to present there?
And it's all about the fans coming into stadiums, coming into the arenas each night, like. It'd be all about the fashion and the awards. Figure this out.
Arias Consulting, listen.
We're on it.
Come on, commissioner.
We're good.
We're on it. We've got a direct pipeline. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Been a while since he has stopped by. From the worldwide leader in sports, joining us from Minneapolis, game three of Timberwolves hosting the Nuggets is on ESPN on Friday night. Joining us here is Dave McMenamin. How are you, Dave?
Great to see you, Rich. Glad to be with you guys.
So where are the Nuggets right now in your on a scale of 1 to 10 in panic mode? What do you think here, Dave?
I mean, the best way I can describe my face watching game two in Denver and seeing that carnage unfold at the hands of the Wolves was kind of like the cutaways to you during the Tom Brady roast.
Nice.
And watching the carnage unfold.
Okay.
I mean, what's going on in the series? It's completely shocking. I think that game two, with all the elements in play, Rudy Gobert's out. You know you got to come back and bounce back after losing game one at home. It's in Denver. all those elements in play, and it's never competitive. It was one of the more shocking games I've ever covered, quite frankly. It reminded me of the second round in 2022 where the Suns lost at home in the second round of Game 7 to the Dallas Mavericks, and it completely blown out, never had a chance in that game. And right now, of course, Denver is capable of winning 4 out of 5. They're the defending NBA champions, but every bit of momentum in this series is going in the Wolves' favor. It's going to be Friday night in Minneapolis, 8:30 local tip. First time in 20 years they've had a second-round playoff game at home. It's going to be a wild atmosphere at Target Center. And if Denver is going to win that game, they're going to have to deal with that constant kind of wall of energy to try to make it, you know, a series. I quite frankly, I don't see it happening. I would almost be surprised if this thing goes back to Denver at this point.
Wow. That would be quite something if the Timberwolves just complete another sweep. This one of the defending NBA champs, but at least they have Jamal Murray available to them on Friday night. I mean, you mentioned the roast. I think they're lucky that Nikki Glaser isn't going to make a heat pack joke, you know, at the expense of the Nuggets. But what's your reporting on the NBA's thinking to leave Murray active for this game?
Well, after we requested the pool report with Mark Davis on the night of Game 2, I had a pretty strong indication this would be the direction it went in, because that was the kind of original adjudication by the league. Mark Davis saying to a pool reporter that we didn't throw him out, and had we even seen what happened, we only would have assessed him a technical foul, because in their opinion, he did not try to hit anybody by throwing the heat pack. It was more out of frustration in their interpretation. Obviously, the league did its investigation, and they didn't find any different information than that original interpretation. Now, $100,000 fine is hefty. It's about as big as you're going to see from the league against a player. I mean, the only time you see a larger fine than that is basically a player or coach questioning the integrity of the officiating. But certainly there are some people that I've spoken to on the Wolves side of things that they want to be able to beat the Nuggets at full strength. It's not about that, but there was, you know, a feeling that something like that is quite frankly dangerous. And if you watch the play, the way the pad slides across the court, a player could have tripped on it. A player could have stepped on it and slid. And then all of a sudden you're dealing with maybe a knee or a groin injury. But ultimately, I think the initial judgment from Mark Davis is what the league went by and carried that on.
And interestingly enough, I mean, Mark Davis had Michael Malone in his face literally earlier in that game, decided not to tee him up at all. And last night, Rick Carlisle was the coach in the face of Mark Davis, and Davis did in fact tee him up, but it looked like Carlisle was looking for it so he could just put an exclamation point on what he was going to say after the game. And we played that soundbite to start the show, where he feels that small market teams aren't given any credence against large market teams and things of that nature. What do you believe is the echoes of the regular season complaints about officiating in these playoffs and how it is playing out right now, Dave?
Listen, I covered Phil Jackson in a large market in Los Angeles. And I remember before the Lakers went into a series against the Oklahoma City Thunder 1 year, Phil had the initial salvo to try to get Olympic Tower's attention in New York, saying that Kevin Durant has too much artificial scoring and his numbers are boosted by a friendly whistle getting to the free throw line. Phil was fined. The Lakers went on to win that series. And it, to him, I'm sure it was a worthy investment, because he just wanted to have his standpoint registered by the league, by the referees going into the series. And Rick Carlisle bit his tongue after game one, and I think anyone who watched game one would be on his side. You know, there were several plays that the officials got wrong down the stretch, a costly kick ball that should not have been called, that should have been a steal that went the Pacers' way. They would have most likely scored in a transition opportunity. Meanwhile, the Knicks end up scoring a three on that possession. That's a 5 or 6 point swing. And then, of course, the screen, illegal screen called on Miles Turner, upheld during a replay review. I understand the last 2 minute report upheld that call as well, but even if you're playing playground hoops, no one's calling that. That's as legal as a screen gets in terms of we are humans executing these plays. We're not robots. And so the fact that he did not choose to go nuclear after game one, to me, only led to this explosion for him after game two. Does he have a point? I don't know. I think you could say that you had a 12-point lead through the first couple of minutes of the third quarter, where the refs, you know, punishing you for being a small market team for the first 26 minutes of the game. I don't think so. You still have to execute to win these things. But certainly a carryover effect, because there was a golden opportunity that they missed in game one, and now they're staring down the face of a 2-0 deficit going back to Indiana, and it could easily have been 1-1 if they got a better whistle in game one.
Dave McMenamin here on the Rich Eisen Show from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Game three is going to be on the Worldwide Leader in Sports family of networks on Friday night with the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Your personal opinion or thoughts as you're watching Anthony Edwards do what Anthony Edwards is doing in the conversation it is engendering with the name Michael Jordan being bandied about, thrown around these days, Dave?
Well, first of all, I haven't been around this team a ton, but being around them, being in the locker room and seeing the way his teammates respond to him, quite frankly, is so refreshing. I've seen him have conversations with really the 1 through 15 type of deal. He's talking to the guys who doesn't play. He's razzing the starters that he shares the court with. And there's just an easy way about him. There's an infectiousness to his presence. And I think that's a big part of why this team is enjoying its success right now. That, yes, Anthony Edwards getting the spotlight, the biggest he's ever gotten in his life, but he's bringing the Wolves along with him. And there was a moment after game two where he was being asked something about what he was doing in order to impact this series. And he stopped his answer. He might even stop Carl Anthony Towns' answer to say, hey, let's give a shout out to Jaden McDaniels, who he's not up at the podium. He's not getting all the press, but he recognizes the importance of what his perimeter defense is allowing the Wolves defense to do as a whole and putting the clamps down on the defending champs and the reigning MVP in Nikola Jokic. That part to me is almost as impressive as the on-court stuff. Because we've seen plenty of guys with a ton of talent, but if you can't get that talent to translate to wanting guys to play with you, you're not going to be able to accomplish everything that you can accomplish in this league. Right now, Anthony Edwards is the complete and total package. And, I mean, you think about him being 22, Minnesota could be a place that wins multiple championships over the next 5 to 10 years.
I mean, they're 6 wins into this. They haven't lost one yet. That said, the Thunder looked pretty damn good in their game one performance against the Mavericks. So I guess two questions coming out of that one. Let's hit the Thunder first on that one, Dave. Are you surprised how quickly they're kind of putting their marker down on the Western Conference regular season and now so far in the playoffs? Seems like they're arriving a little bit ahead of schedule. Perhaps.
Absolutely ahead of schedule. And a lot of that credit goes to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and just hitting a completely different level. There's a reason why Shaquille O'Neal is upset on Inside the NBA last night and saying to Nikola Jokic's face, because he believed that he was unworthy of the MVP because SGA was worthy. I mean, he led the team to the best record in the Western Conference. His numbers were through the roof. And just like that spiel I gave about Edwards, he looks like a guy, seems like a guy that guys like playing with. And they come at you in waves, you know. Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren and Lou Dort, they are guys who play with an edge defensively, who have skills offensively, and that's what you need in the modern NBA. And that's a group right now. Now, I picked Dallas going into the series to win, I believe, in 7 games, because I'm going to default to Luka Doncic and his ability to perform in big moments. But if you watch game one, he did not look like the Luka Doncic we're all used to seeing. I mean, seeing his frustration, dealing with that wrap on his left knee late in the game, he had no lift whatsoever. Even though he was getting to his spots, he wasn't making his shots. And to me, it's because there was not, you know, he doesn't have normal shooting form because he can't push off that leg right now. And so Dallas looks like a team that's in some trouble, which is interesting because they look so good against the Clippers. And it's kind of like what I'm realizing as I cover this Wolves-Denver series right now is maybe the Clippers were really in disarray, even more so than we thought. And it made Dallas look that good. And maybe the same goes to the Lakers, where, you know, we thought that was a really close series in the first round. But perhaps Denver was just feasting on a Lakers team that wasn't all that great, all that up to snuff. And so they looked better than they were actually playing, because a Wolves team and an OKC team right now, those teams look like the class of the West.
Well, I mean, you answered my Mavericks question about Luka's health. So I guess let me just hit the big enchilada here. The sense is that maybe we're just rearranging deck chairs for the NBA Finals for the Celtics, because, you know, in the same way that the Celtics watched Tatum on fumes in their last NBA Finals kind of run, now he's just kicking back like Red Auerbach, watching Derek White make threes like crazy and the rest of the team handle their business to win by 25. So which team do you think that's still out there is best equipped to upset the Celtics apple cart when it's all said and done, Dave?
I think it's Minnesota. They had the number one ranked defense in the regular season. They had, as of game five, or game their fifth game of the playoff run, so game one of the second round, the number one ranked offense in the postseason. I mean, so they're given to you both ways. They have the defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert. Just the way they played with force and physicality, and it seems like this is what the NBA is going to allow you to do. And I have no complaints about it. I think it's great for us covering the game and watching the games. They can throw NWA at you, and they can throw Jaden McDaniels at you. And you know, even Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards are giving plus defensive performances and not allowing their games just to be predicated by their offense. And then you throw in, you know, a 7'4" guy or 7'3" guy in the middle, and Gobert, you can funnel everything to him. It's remarkable. They don't see a hole in their game, and they have a wonderful coach in Chris Finch, who I think could match wits or maybe even run circles around, in some respects, Joe Mazzulla with the Boston Celtics. So I think they are equipped right now. I wouldn't say they'd be the favorites. Boston was the number one team in the regular season for a reason, but I don't think they are going to have any sense of dread or fear factor going at the Celtics team should they get, I guess, what, the six more wins they need to get to the NBA Finals.
And L'Enfant Gobert has been born, correct? You can confirm that is correct?
I can confirm.
Okay. It's a boy? It's a masculine child for Rudy Gobert? Is that who it is?
It's a baby boy. It's a baby boy.
Okay.
And he said he was so he didn't know if it was exhausted or excitement, but he was so overcome watching game two, holding his baby boy, that he got a little emotional seeing how well they played without him.
Remarkable. Last one for you. So the Charlotte Hornets have named a new head coach. It is Charles Lee, the lead assistant for Joe Mazzulla for the Celtics, and he's going to finish out the Celtics playoff season. Where are the Lakers, sir? Down the street. We're just down the road, or up the road, depending on where you're standing, from the Lakers facility here in El Segundo. What's going on with their coach search, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, the only two candidates I've reported on three, but one just got an extension for the Mavericks and Jason Kidd. But the only two I've reported on, and I stand fast as the two, I guess, I don't know if I would say top names, but certainly names that the Lakers clearly have interest in, are Tyronn Lue and J.J. Redick. Now, Tyronn Lue, there's been reports from ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, the Clippers intend to extend him. Until that happens, he will remain a person of interest for the Lakers head coaching job. We shall see what will happen. We know that Steve Ballmer has the deepest pockets out of any NBA owner, and he could present a number to Tyronn Lue, and it's a moot conversation, and the Lakers will have to look elsewhere. But there remains interest in Tyronn Lue, and J.J. Redick's someone who the team views as an intriguing, young, smart prospect, someone who could grow in the job, and obviously has established a rapport with LeBron James, and the Lakers intend to have LeBron James come back on any term that he wants to, whether that be a one-year deal, two-year deal, three-year deal, whatever. They'd love to continue to have LeBron James in the purple and gold until he calls it quits, whenever that may be. And so those are the names right now. I've seen other reporting by other outlets listing a bunch of candidates. Of course, the Lakers are aware of every potential person they could hire. And at some point, the list could expand, but they are staying relatively focused there. They intend to talk to experienced candidates. I know I said J.J. Redick, he's not experienced. He would be the exception. There's a preference to find an experienced candidate. And as they expand, if they need to, look to for them to add experienced candidates to that list. But right now, those are the two names I have heard with real genuine interest that the Lakers have it.
And would giving LeBron what he wants, anything that he wants, include drafting his son, do you think, Dave?
I don't think so. You look at the Lakers, they have the number 17 pick in the first round, the number 55 pick in the second round. If Bronny James stays in the NBA draft, he's not going to be drafted in the range of 17, and he's going to be off the board by 55. And with the value of that 17 pick, the true value, being a potential trade asset for the Lakers, being able to move three first round picks on draft night, potentially to acquire a big name ready to perform, someone of the level of a DeJounte Murray or a Trae Young or a Donovan Mitchell, that pick will certainly not be used on anyone if they had their druthers, and it wouldn't be used on Bronny James. And quite frankly, if you listen to LeBron's messaging really over about the last year and a half, it hasn't been, I need to play with my son. It's, I need to share the NBA court with my son. And that can happen as opponents.
Dave, appreciate the time, brother. Always appreciate following you on Twitter at MC10 and everything else that you're doing. Appreciate the time here, sir.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. That's Dave McMenamin. He's going to open the curtains behind him, and we'll see what's behind. You know what's behind curtain number one? Game 3 of the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Good to see you, Dave. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
There's Dave McMenamin.
All right.
Was he reaching for the hang-up button right there? I hope it didn't keep him too long.
He's
reaching
Tufo?
For it. Like he was
quick,
oh boy.
Quick trigger finger?
Oh, he's like, don't ever, never Del
Tufo. It's like Cage on FaceTime. He just loves to hit the red button.
Does he really?
Hey, buddy, I'll see you. And it's gone.
The quickest hang-up trigger I know is Dan Patrick. Like when he's done.
When we're done,
like sometimes, you know, when I'll say he'll... I only hear the good and goodbye. Honestly, ask any. I bet you he does it to the Danettes too. All right, he goes. All right, very good. See you.
You don't get the goodbye.
Yeah,
that's better than in person because Dan will just leave.
I'm telling you.
Irish goodbye. All right, we'll take a break. 844-204 Rich. Number to dial. Phone calls. When we come back, 844-204 Rich.
I cannot believe you watched Charles Oakley get dragged out of Madison Square Garden with your own two eyes, Bobby. I mean, I could not.
Spike Lee was there. You couldn't believe it.
Did everyone just like a during
the time? Wait a minute, Spike Lee was there?
Boo, boo.
It's so nice. That next thing you're going to tell me Jack Nicholson was at the Lakers game.
McEnroe was there. I know McEnroe, he was right there. He was practically in Oakley's lap.
Yeah. Woody Allen there?
He was not.
I don't know why that's funny.
John Lithgow? Was John there?
Steve Earle was there. I saw Steve Earle.
Okay. Oh, really?
This is the new Madison Square Garden.
Leon was there, the actor.
Oh, sure.
He was there.
What about...
Bob Costas? Told you.
Costas. Now...
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell this story?
Not feeling me.
You got to tell the Costas story.
Tell the story.
When I was like 21 years old, I went to the... The Heisman Trophy.
At the Downtown Athletic Club?
I managed to get invited. Like, I had an extra ticket, or somebody gave me a ticket, and I went to the thing. And I went to the bathroom, and Bob Costas was in the next urinal. And I was like 21, so this was 1990, 91. And I said, and I was peeing, and I went, I just wanted to say, I'm a big fan of yours. And he told me, and he went, don't you know the rule? You're not supposed to talk when you're in the urinal. And I was like, oh, God, I didn't. That's how I learned the rule. Anyway, so I'm at the Knicks game. And I never met him before since then. And I said to him, hey, this is Bobby Cannavale. I just wanted to introduce myself and say, when I was 21, I told him the story. And he went, doesn't sound like something I'd say. Shot me down. Just complete shoot down.
Twice. Well, he was also sitting on the toilet when you told him the second time. He was. Like, hey,
so what did you?
And shut the door, dude. I don't care that you have two Emmys. Chip. Shut the door, Chip.
Chip.
It's so funny, man.
Love it. Game time tickets. Make sure you get this mobile app on your mobile device and start buying tickets, certainly to basketball playoff games. We're entering the midst of round number two. Go check it out wherever you are in the area of a basketball game in particular. Prices go down the closer it gets to tip off when you use the Game Time app. It's awesome. Killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat. Lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork completely out of buying tickets. Last-minute tickets, I mentioned flash deals, a zone deal. What you should do is download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account. Redeem my code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Turzo and Iowa, all rise, everybody. What's up, Turzo? Oh, how are you?
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Rich, I don't know if I think Brockman said this kind of earlier in the week, but just talking about how great all of the sports have been here in the past few weeks and kind of going forward. Like, the NBA playoffs have been fantastic, NHL's been great. You know, the photo finish with the Kentucky Derby. Just it's been a lot of fun, and baseball's just picking up and just having a ball watch and everything. So I think it's a little underrated for the start of May for sports, but right now it's been great, especially getting close to the Olympics. I'm just having a ball, and the NBA playoffs are just blowing me away.
How about that, man? And how was your trip down to what would you go to Wrigley? Is what you said?
Yeah, we're up in Wrigley, man. I'm happy that we all survived. You know, we all made it back in one piece, and so did both of the vans. So that's always a positive.
Did the Brewers win? Did the Brewers win?
The Brewers did not win.
Oh.
I might have got a beer tossed at me because I was egging on the crowd because I was kind of rooting for the Brewers because I needed some runs because I had the over. And so there might have been a beer that came my way.
Okay.
We had a ball.
Okay. Doesn't affect your law license, though, does it, Turzo?
No, not in the state of Illinois because I don't practice there, but we're all good.
Turzo in Iowa. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call, brother. Speaking of the Brewers, so they're in Kansas City, and Willie Adames is chatting up the fans, some Royals fans behind home plate. If you ever sat close to a player, you know, you can chirp a little bit. Sometimes you just start striking up a conversation.
Yeah, they hear everything.
Yes.
You know, and if it's good natured, gotta love it. So the Brewers are down by two runs in the ninth, and there's a couple runners on board, a couple ducks on the pond, and Adames is about to go to the plate, and some fans start, you know, good naturedly ribbing him, saying, basically, go ahead and hit a three-run homer, like taunting him, right? Yeah, go ahead, hit the three-run homer and put us down, right, by one run? So Adames steps to the plate, and Bill Levering at the microphone for the Milwaukee, Jeff Levering, pardon me, at the mic for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Fly ball, left field. It is back. It is gone. A three-run go-ahead home run for Willie Adames. What a shot in the arm for the Brew Crew.
So there he is.
High-fiving the guys.
High-fiving. He goes back to the fans and high-fives them. And the Royals fans who taunted him, go ahead and hit a three-run home run, just spoke it into existence, and Adames goes back. And there was just mind blown that he went ahead and did it because Adames said, all right, I'll do it. And he confirmed that after the game.
Game, they were talking. They were being friendly and, you know,
I was just having a good time with them, and they were like, oh, we want Willie, we want Willie. And I went close to them, and I was like, are you sure you want me? And they were like, yeah, we want you to hit a three-run homer. And I was like, I bet. I'm like, let me do it. If Gary take a wall, I'm going. And then I hit it, and I was like, oh, my God, that was the coolest thing I ever done, like, I ever experienced in my life. And, you know, we had a good time. Then I signed a couple balls for them, and, you know, we had a great time.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, said after the game, he was listening to the byplay, and he said it was really priceless. Called it really cool.
That's so awesome.
I just love stuff like this. This is what baseball's about, too. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. Just good-natured fun if you can have it. Sometimes it gets a little bit rabid, a little too rabid. And that happened a couple nights ago in Kansas City.
I mean, that's sportsmanship, that spirit of the game. That's
fun.
All the fun stuff that we love about sports.
Also, just don't taunt the opposition into hitting the game-winning go-ahead three-run home run against you. Because he might just do it.
That's great.
And he did it after saying, all right, you want me to do it? I'll do it. Sure.
Yeah.
See ya.
I bet.
Fun. Yeah. Well, don't use that phrase.
Peace.
Good point.
I assume you would like to see it, like something like that. It's a little wordier, but you know. Chris Long coming up, hour two.
I'm sure that is the result you were looking for.
Again, it's a little bit too cumbersome. Yeah. It's more cumbersome.
Yeah. But you don't want to get that mixed up.
It. No.
Love it.
You know, fun stuff.
I will do my best to accommodate your wish.
Indeed.
EJ, Pittsburgh. See, he's getting called up.
Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens. I've been stashing him for like
been
6 weeks.
Yeah, I was sitting around. It was around 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 our time.
Yep.
The alert came in on my phone.
Fires put out a cool video, too.
Immediately picked him up in the league. I'm with Coop. And
well
I texted
done.
Coop.
Well done.
I texted Coop. But guess who's got Paul Skeens? He's like, we do? I'm like, yeah.
Saturday.
Home game.
Saturday.
Right?
Saturday making the debut. Yep.
Are they at home?
I don't know. Good question.
Yeah, good question.
And more importantly, the question that millions of young American men want to know is Livy Dunn going to be at the game? I think that.
Yeah, they're home against the Cubs.
Okay, that I think more.
Well, I think Saturday is. I think it's the last day of classes at LSU. So
okay,
it's
so
possible.
I know all the teenagers. 15, 16, 17, 18. They're going to want to know that.
But I can feel it.
But Coop was not very impressed with Dad's work, because he's the one who told Dad first week of the season we should pick up this pitcher named Shota Imanaga.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, sure. And so every single time I'm
how's
like, how do you like my
how's
pickup?
That working out?
I'm like, how do you like that pickup? And he's just like, Shota.
Dad. Literally like a 0.3 ERA right now.
He's spectacular for the Cubs. Hour one in the books.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? Can you pay me more?
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.